Hey, it's Dan Patrick. Here's your chance to score with Maaco Auto Body Shop. Join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, airfare, hotel stay, and VIP access to see us do our show. Maaco also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 swag bags. Enter daily for a chance to win. Get official rules at danpatrick.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Today on The Grave Talks, Apparitions at the Moment of Death, a conversation with author Daniel Burke. Have you ever heard of a loved one appearing in a vision at the exact moment of their passing, no matter how far away they might be? These extraordinary events, known as crisis apparitions, challenge our understanding of life and the afterlife. Daniel Burke's new book, Apparitions at the Moment of Death, The Living Ghost in Legend, Lyric, and Lore, shares hundreds of firsthand accounts. Rather than inspiring fear, these experiences leave recipients feeling consoled, connected, and full of hope. Join us as we explore the timeless mystery of crisis apparitions and what they reveal about life, death, and the enduring bonds that link us all. Today on The Grave Talks, Apparitions at the Moment of Death, The Living Ghost in Legend, Lyric, and Lore, a conversation with author Daniel Burke. So, Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. You're in Dublin, Ireland.
Dublin, Ireland, yes.
And I'm in Kansas, and you and I are a long ways apart right now.
Far apart, but isn't it magical and strange that there's cables running under the ocean that allows us to communicate?
Isn't that nice?
It's a strange time.
I love where you live. I think that Ireland is such a beautiful country. And so just thanks for taking the time to talk about your book today. It's Apparitions at the Moment of Death, The Living Ghost in Legend, Lyric, and Lore. So when I was reading the book, I got to about chapter 3. And then I was like, my God, this guy did a lot of research for this book. Can you kind of tell me how long this book took for you to write, and did you do a lot of research for the book, because you had to have?
The book didn't actually start as the kind of book that it turned out to be. It started with me just kind of realizing there weren't many references in the literature to cross-cultural and ancient kind of historical crisis apparitions. So kind of on my travels while reading, I would kind of collect the odd account and kind of, oh, that's interesting. That's an older account that kind of ties in with these accounts. And I initially had an idea to kind of come up with a document of maybe 30, 35 accounts maybe of these. And I thought that would be an interesting thing to put out there in the world. But once I started really diving into different literatures, whether it's the legends of the North America, the Native Americans, whether it's the miracle collections of the Middle Ages, or kind of the tales of Aboriginal people, I kind of started finding them everywhere. And to be honest, that was something I did actually expect, because I was aware how common this phenomenon is, how well remembered it is, and how much kind of study had been done on it, at least in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. So I did kind of have a feeling that I'd find them if I looked for them. But it kind of just became apparent to me during the course of the research, okay, this book needs to be written just because it doesn't exist. Like, it needs to be written because I would like to read it. I would like to read just one place where all of these accounts are brought together. The overall research took about, I think, 2 years to 2.5
oh, wow.
years, from conception to completion. And yes, I appreciate you saying that. So thank you.
Can you define what a crisis apparition is?
Absolutely. So fundamentally, a crisis apparition is, it is the experience of encountering the form of a loved one, not always a loved one, but most commonly a loved one, at the moment of their distant death or in and around that moment. So that itself is the apparitional aspect. There are other experiences wherein one could have a vision, hear a sound, hear a voice, etc., etc. But fundamentally, it is becoming aware in some manner of a death that is actually occurring at a distance. But then usually very quickly after the experience, whether it be an apparition, a sound, etc., you get the confirmation that the individual who appeared to you at that time actually did die at that time. So that's the fundamental mystery and kind of basic definition of a crisis apparition.
What got you interested in even researching that, let alone writing an entire book?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because it's always hard to draw kind of hard and fast lines for me, because my interests often skip around and I move on from one thing to the next very quickly sometimes, but I will be obsessed with kind of one thing at a time though. So I think what got me specifically interested in crisis apparitions, it was more just a kind of initially an accidental, I kind of came across the concept kind of incidentally while studying strange things generally, parapsychological things. Like, for instance, I may have come across The Phantasms of the Living, a volume that was written in the late 19th century dealing with these experiences. Obviously, there's a lot in the so-called paranormal sphere that is interesting, but for me, this was especially interesting because the extent to which the kind of experience is which means truth-telling, it's truthfully tied with an external event. So when I realized that, I realized, okay, so it's going to be challenging then to tie the experience, whether it be the apparition, the vision, etc., solely to the mind of the individual. Because the individual didn't know they had no way of knowing that individual at a distance was actually dying, yet the information was correct. I think that fundamental aspect of it kind of triggered my interest in it. And then I've always been very interested in near-death experiences. And the reason these two things tie together in relation to your question is because at one point I did come across a paper written by Dr. Bruce Grayson, who's very well known when it comes to near-death research. And he wrote a paper called Seeing People Unknown to Have Died. He wrote this paper in 2010. And in that paper, there are experiences described which are called peak Indarian experiences. Now, that's a reference to essentially what I just described, except it's specifically in relation to near-death experiences. So, for example, the individual dies or has a near-death experience. During the course of that experience, while they're ostensibly unconscious, they visit another world, and maybe we would expect them... They often report meeting deceased relatives, but what's interesting about the Pekin Diary experience is that they may report meeting somebody that they didn't know was dead, who had actually died at the time that they were clinically dead, but then they come back from the near-death experience with the information, which is then later confirmed. In other words, the person they met amongst the deceased relatives was actually dead in the world at a time they couldn't have known about it. So that's when I kind of said, okay, because in that paper there were a couple of cross-cultural examples. So it's kind of the moment when I said, okay, this needs to be, there needs to be more volume put behind this. There needs to be just more data, because that's one thing I love, is just data, just lots of data, just put it all there, just, and anyone can kind of do with it what they may, but for me the fun is collecting all those accounts and putting them in one place.
I do find near-death experiences to be fascinating, because there's this moment where someone's straddling both worlds. And it also happens when you're on your deathbed. You're kind of straddling both worlds. And so some people might pass quickly, but then other people, it might take days to pass, where they're kind of in and out of consciousness. And so I find that whole thing to be fascinating. And I've heard stories, people I've talked to, who have had experiences where a loved one came to them. And in the book, you kind of divide this up into chapters where, you know, it could be in a vision, in a dream, in different ways. They might actually see an apparition of the loved one. But I find it fascinating that that's not a new thing. You know, it's like, I think this goes back to, like, you cite the Bible in your book. You know, this is something that's been going on throughout history, period.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, if you look at the kind of the more influential works in relation to the crisis apparition, like, they came about in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. And those works were primarily concerned with specific regions, whether it be England, North America, and whether it may be France. And then in the 1960s, there was some work done in Switzerland, and then some mild cross-cultural references in those works. There were often allusions to, and this is something you find in the early parapsychological literature in general, there are often allusions to how widespread these things are, how they're a natural part of the human experience. It's taken for granted, but it was never truly followed up on and kind of shown in one place. So yes, this is a true, so based on those the collected literature of those individuals, it kind of becomes whatever the true nature and meaning of these experiences. One thing is clear, is that they're an entirely normal, natural part of the human experience and the human encounter with death. The extent to which I was aware of that is why I was so convinced I would find these in legend, lyric and lore, as I call it, on the book. I knew that if I looked, wherever I looked, I'd find them. And it turned out, thankfully, to be correct. You find them in Aboriginal Australian tales, Native American tales. You find them in medieval miracle collections. You find them very commonly among the lives of the saints. These experiences, these Christ apparitions and all their visionary relatives, you find them in the Icelandic sagas. And they're fundamentally indistinguishable from each other in the more unimportant ways across space, culture, and across time. So, like, the oldest account that in the book, for instance, of a recognizable crisis apparition is from ancient Egypt, and you're looking at around 1960 BC. And then you will also find, and it's an entirely recognizable form. The example itself is recorded as a poem on a stele, I think. And it references the death of a king whose son was in a distant place while his father, the king, was in the castle. And the king is killed in a surprise raid. But he, as a ghost, he comes to visit his son, tells him the fact that he has died, the manner of his death, and then that is later confirmed. So what's interesting about that is that despite the fact it's never been picked up on as a crisis apparition because generally scholars who look at it aren't in any way inclined in that direction. They're Egyptologists, there's different kinds of social scientists. But when I saw it, I immediately recognized the crisis apparition. We do know that crisis apparitions influence art, influence poetry. We know this because a playwright called David Belasco, he based much of his play, The Return of Peter Grimm, off the concepts and ideas that arose within him after his own crisis apparition, after his own experience of his mother dying at a distance in Chicago and then coming to him and saying, Davy, 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 three times. And the experience had that impact on him. So my point there is to say that it isn't a stretch to say that the same types of experiences could have influenced this poetry thousands of years ago, too. There's no reason why not.
When you decided to write the book, how did you even start the research and where did you go to do all of the research? Because you came across, I don't even know how many stories, hundreds?
In the book, I included many hundreds of stories. I believe there are maybe over 500 or 600, but that would be obviously from many thousands of more sources, because in many of those sources, there are more stories, for instance, but obviously I can't include them all. But like, in terms of how did I start the research, I began the research with my own library, physical and digital. I began with like Amazon Kindle, just kind of looking at bibliographies and just vaguely kind of considering maybe there you would find things here or there. But when I really got serious with the cross-cultural research is when I went to places like archive.org and gutenberg.org. These are just vast repositories of the most obscure and old scholarly research. It's a really incredible resource. It's, to be honest, looking back on the research, I know now that I could have completed it in a shorter time if I took a different approach, because I wasn't really... This is the first book I've ever written. I've tried to write many over the years, but this is the one where I finally actually wrote it. So now, so for instance, like a lot of the things that I did then would have been searching keywords within volumes and then using that to kind of follow up on chapters. But now I have different methods where you can kind of search entire sentences or match one word with another and see where they are beside each other within that volume, for instance. So I think I could have maybe taken a third off that time, but I enjoyed the entire thing. It was pretty surreal, and I'm glad that we're here to talk about it now with a finished product finally.
Right. It's kind of like going down a rabbit hole where one story leads you to another, which leads you to another. I would think it would be hard to stop. Like when, because once you know what I'm saying? Because once you're finding so many, it just interests you even more to find more. Like if you can find a story from China versus a story from Native Americans in the US, and then you see these like consistencies or, you know, through lines with these stories, I just find that fascinating.
It really is. And like you're correct, because the reason this book exists is because I couldn't stop, basically. Because if I had stopped, like there were many points where, as I said, I didn't even know I was writing a book. I was just collecting these accounts. And then it just came to be that, oh, I can sort these. Oh, these kind of fit into this chapter. Oh, I could sort these out in this way. And oh, these are all specific types of dreams, and I could put, and then it kind of just gradually formed into a book. And you're right as well in the sense that it was hard to stop, because I didn't actually stop. I collected many more accounts than I could fit into this book, because there, you know, I have with my publisher, there's a specific word count that I can work to, but I have collected many more. And in my following book, in my next book, which will be releasing in July of next year, it's called Telepathic Tales. So that takes the approach of this book, but it applies it to different extrasensory, different phenomenon of extrasensory perception from the cross-cultural and historical viewpoint. And within there, you will find another chapter dealing with these visions and dreams, many of which I couldn't include in the first book. So there was at least it's not going to waste, I suppose.
With crisis apparitions, of course, there is the apparition, aspect of that, mm-hmm. where someone actually sees a person, you know, their loved one, come to them. Mm-hmm. But they can also see people they don't even know or have an experience. You have several in the book that, you know, people, like there was one example, I can't remember the names, but he had a dream and he told his wife, you know, I dreamt about Edsel or Estol or something. And they look in the paper the next day and here was this young man who had died. I think he had drowned. They didn't know him.
They didn't know, yes.
But then...
Isn't that so strange?
Yeah. How that could come to him even though he didn't even know him.
This speaks to the third chapter, which deals with those who see and those who don't. Through time, specifically in like in folklore and legend, there's always the individual who can interact with the quote-unquote supernatural, who can speak with ghosts, etc., etc. This is an old concept. This goes back again. This also goes back to ancient Egypt and the Bible, etc. The idea that there are those who can see and those who don't. So it would make sense in that regard, if you're taking that as the nature of things, it would make sense that there would also be certain people who, like, let's assume, for instance, that the apparition does represent the consciousness of the individual. It would be the case that in some cases, the loved one that they wish to contact just happened to be one of those people who don't see, who don't have the capacity to be interacted with by the ghost. So it would have to come through a third party, for example. You will find case like that in the book. You will also find case like that in, for instance, Seeing Ghosts by Hilary Evans. That researcher specifically references cases like that as evidence of survival because they find them very hard to kind of explain any other way. You will have cases where the ghost comes to a third party, somebody, in fact, who the message of the death is meant for an individual. But sometimes the ghost seems to come to somebody the individual didn't even know, but with the message that they should nevertheless tell this particular person. That is something that comes up in the literature, and it does speak to. But just specifically regarding your case too, then. So my point there is that it would also make sense that maybe these things kind of, if you're suitably receptive, maybe you discover these things incidentally, maybe more than one person can kind of just tune into this information. Who knows? But certainly those cases are strange, mysterious, because, again, the event itself coincides with a real event in the actual world. So that's why they're, again, so fundamentally strange, whatever form they come in.
That actually happened to a friend of mine. Her best friend passed away in his sleep.
No problem.
A woman she didn't even know. He came to her in a dream, and then she had to figure out kind of who he was and was drawn to reach out to this one person. And she's like, you might think I'm crazy, but he came to me in my dream and he had some things he wanted me to share. And so the group of friends, I think there was three or four of close friends of his, they all got together with this woman. And they actually have become friends since. But it was very interesting. She didn't even know them.
That is.
She kind of was
incredible.
A friend of a friend in a way.
That's absolutely incredible. You're actually the third interviewer who has told me that an experience like this has either happened to them or to someone they know, which again speaks exactly to just how common these experiences are. But again, what it also speaks to, what you said again, is that your friend didn't want to mention this because they would be called crazy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That is very much an issue with non-ordinary experiences in general, and it's always been an issue and it will probably always be, because we kind of live in a time where we don't really have the cultural context within which to kind of assimilate experiences like that. But they have a very, very powerful impact on the individual, and that is something I wanted to stress in this book, actually. And I go into it in a lot in the end of the first chapter and somewhere towards the end of the last chapter too, is that these are like, and this is something I always say, is that even in the literature that deals with these experiences, it can become a bit repetitive, it dry, the language can become dry. It hides the real you can really kind of skip over just how strange these experiences mm-hmm. are. They're deeply mysterious experiences that in a moment can kind of fundamentally alter the individual's sense of their place in the universe itself, in the cosmos, what things mean, why things are the way they are. There are cases in the book you'll see there where the individual their belief in an afterlife is instantiated after an experience like this. Their belief in an afterlife may also be bolstered by an experience like this. Like, this is something that's been observed of things like the near-death experience historically, that maybe experiences like this influence religious beliefs or afterlife beliefs. Mm-hmm. But this is not something that's very often spoke about in relation to the Christ apparition. So that's another avenue that I hope other people will go down in the future also. But it's enough to say that, yes, it's interesting that your experience, just that one experience you just kind of related, really corroborates the kind of basic fundamental aspects of the experience itself. So,
in another story that actually happened to me personally, that I never really connected it to being some like a crisis apparition, because mm-hmm. my grandmother hadn't passed away yet, and okay. so it was the day before she passed away. She had been in the hospital for a while. I didn't realize she was going to die within 24 hours. But I was watching television. It was middle of the afternoon. And all of a sudden, I just panicked that I had to go see her. And she was 80 miles away from where I was. And I had to get there. And I had to go right now. And I jumped up. And within 10 minutes, I was in my car. Because wow. I had to get there. And then something went wrong with my car. So I went to the shop. And they're like, we can fix it tomorrow. I start crying. I go, you have to fix it today. I have to wow. go see my grandmother. And so they fixed it up good enough for me to get there. And I stopped at my cousin's on the way. And I said, you got to come with me. We have to go see grandma. And she's like, why? And I said, I don't know, but we have to go see her. So wow. we got up to the hospital and we saw her. And she was awake. But she'd been kind of in and out of consciousness and passed away probably within 12 hours after that.
Wow.
But I never thought of that being any sort of crisis apparition. I thought maybe it was my intuition or something like that. Mm. But it can happen with people because they're kind of straddling two worlds at that time, because there were examples in the book about how the person hadn't actually quite passed yet, but they were on their deathbed and they come to someone. And
absolutely.
I find that kind of really resonated with me for obvious reasons.
Absolutely. I can see why. That's an incredible experience you had, because my father had a similar experience when his mother died. He was on the beach, and there was no immediate concern that she would die like in any particular, like within the next 24 hours, for example, but he just immediately kind of had a strange experience where he saw, and this is his words, he saw a hand coming from the clouds, and somehow he knew that meant he immediately had to go and see his mother. And within minutes after having seen her, she did pass away. So it is actually surprisingly common, that experience you describe. And what's interesting also is that, first of all, so although I do concentrate on the apparitions in the title, I'm more interested generally in general intimations of a distant death of any kind. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, your experience absolutely qualifies as of the same type. And what's more is that those who originally defined the term crisis apparition actually defined it as an experience which occurs either 12 hours before or after the death. So they did give that leeway. They did understand that there may be, we don't truly understand even today what really constitutes the moment of death. It is, in other words, you can absolutely have a crisis apparition even before the death occurs. And these experiences can come in the form of an intuition, as you had. And I referenced in the book that you will find these intuitions of a distant death, even in, for instance, the folklore of Hawaii, for example. You'll find the same intimations. And then I can compare them to Canadian accounts also there, just as an aside. But yeah, so your experience is fascinating, absolutely does qualify as of the type that kind of are in the book overall. Yeah, absolutely.
As I was reading the book, I'm like, I think that's what that was. The whole,
and for all
these years, I've kind of thought it was just like, I don't know. I just had a feeling. There's a feeling, I guess. And but then I was like, well, it's happened to a lot of other people.
Absolutely.
Similar things.
Did
like
you
your
think
own
it was strange
father.
At the time? Exactly.
You know, it was interesting. At the time, I was so consumed with, I had to go, I had to go, I had to go. And then she passed away. So then it went right from that into deep grief. I really loved her very much. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
It was a long time ago now, but thank you.
No problem.
I think that I never really thought about it because it went so quickly from that into her passing. And that's her passing became the big event in my life. And I kind of didn't really think about what I had experienced before. I knew it was strange. And my cousin, after everything was over and settled down, she said, thank you so much. And I'm like, for what? And she goes, I wouldn't have gone to see her that day if it wasn't for you.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
And the fact that my cousin just happened to be home in the middle of the afternoon, but she was like, okay, I'll go with you. I don't know what this is all about, but she indulged me and she went. And I'm really glad that we were both able to be there because that way we were able to say goodbye. I'd have never been able to say goodbye had I not listened to that voice. I think that sometimes, not just with like crisis apparition and what we're speaking about today, but I think life in general, people tend to not listen to that.
It's very common and it really is. And like, so you're speaking about the kind of fact that often near death, we are kind of skirting these two worlds. We're kind of between worlds, one foot in this world, one foot in the next. And like the reality is, so in the book and in the literature more broadly, there are so many cases wherein the individual dying on their deathbed wishes to see somebody. So they will kind of, they will like actually speak certain words and in trying to kind of communicate to them. And those are the actual words that the individual at a distance hears. And but they don't know until it's later confirmed, of course. But the point is that if people are differently, varyingly receptive to these things, like we could obviously postulate there in that the message you received, if it was a message, could have actually been a direct message from the actual dying individual themselves, but it just came through in that way for you for whatever reason, for whatever quirk of the nature of the communication, for whatever quirk of, you know, each individual's different capacities to offer and receive this information. So it does seem that it may be the case that in some cases those intuitions are kind of watered down versions of what might be a more powerful message for another. But also it could simply be that for whatever reason you are more comfortable or better suited to receive something of that kind versus something more kind of dramatic, like an apparition or a vision, for example. I think that, basically, I think that if this is a phenomenon of nature, it would be regulated in some way. So the individual would be taken into account in some way. So I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if there was an aspect where the very particular type of intimation that you and others have is not an accident and is probably in some sense tailored to them.
That makes sense to me. I think because if I was just watching television and all of a sudden I saw an apparition of my grandmother, that would scare the crap out of me.
Exactly.
But, you know, and my grandmother would be like, I know that's going to scare her. I'm going to do this a different way. I don't know if there's a conscious thought on how they get through to you. I don't know how that works, but I find it very interesting because in the book, there are different, it's not all just an apparition. There are different ways that they can come through. And so you kind of have it separated out by chapters. So while you were researching the book, did you go, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That's a whole chapter by itself. That's another chapter.
Yeah, it was kind of a mixture because I didn't want to sort the accounts by geography or by time frame. Like, here's the accounts from 1400 to 1700, etc. No, because these apparitions kind of, they have ways of manifesting that we already kind of know about, that are already known from the legend, the lyric, the lore, especially from the folklore and the kind of parapsychological literature. So I thought I want to organize them by the types of accounts themselves. Therefore, I can include accounts from a wide gamut geographically and temporally in one chapter, which would show that even though they're so disparately located and separated from each other through space, culture, and time, they can still all fall under these known they can still all be filed under the same kind of known entities of how these things occur. Yeah, with the chapters, there were many times where I just kind of was thinking, oh, okay, yep, okay, that would kind of fit into this chapter. And it wasn't the case that I always said, here's the chapter name, then look for the accounts. It was mostly the opposite. So yeah, in a way, it was kind of organic. And again, I'm looking at the chapters, and it's one of them things again where it's kind of a blur, really. The whole memory of it is a bit of a blur. So I'm giving you my memory of it. Maybe a bit of it's off.
Do you think you just got so into the research and everything, it kind of all blurred together?
Yes, truly, truly, it's the case. And that is actually, to be honest, that was even more so the case for the second and third books that I've now written. This one I remember, believe it or not, I actually remember this one clearer than those two, because the second book, which again I say is going to be released in July, I remember just finishing that and having basically no memory of even starting it, or the middle is just like, oh, okay, I guess I have a second book now. I don't know where it really came from. It's very strange. It's hard to explain.
That is interesting. Do you think that something's kind of working through you a little bit as well?
I mean, it's entirely possible. I'm open to the idea for sure. I mean, I can't obviously answer that yes or no directly, but
right.
I mean, I'm open to the concept. And certainly I will say that I definitely felt in some way possessed. Now, that could have been simply by my own kind of ambition or consciousness or whatever it is, but I definitely didn't feel in a normal state of consciousness when writing this book. I'll say that. And I won't go on about this third book because we're talking about the first book, but I wrote a third book also, and the same thing occurred. Even it was actually to the point where when I came to the end of that book and I looked, when I'm finished a book, I will kind of just ignore it for a few weeks, just not even think about it, not look at anything. And then when I came back to it, I genuinely looked at a lot of the paragraphs and the accounts, and I couldn't even conceptualize that I had done that. It didn't feel like I had done it. It felt like it just kind of emerged and appeared, and there it is. It's a very strange thing. It really is.
It is interesting to me, because as hard as you work on that, you think you would have like all these, it wouldn't be such a blur because you focus so hard on it. But then it kind of makes sense to me as well. Sometimes I write comedy, so it's very different from what you write. I write plays. And sometimes I'll get really into it, and then I'm just writing, and when I go back to reread it, I'm like, I wrote that? That was really funny.
It really is a strange thing. I think it's maybe related to the state of consciousness that you have to be in, to that kind of flow state, maybe, because it actually reminds me of something I wanted to say, because you mentioned that when you had that intimation, you were sitting in front of the television, which is interesting, because something I noted in the book is that a lot of these accounts, especially in the lives of the saints and others, like in ancient Japan, for example, in a lot of these accounts, the state of consciousness is often noted. And it's often a distracted state of consciousness. It's often a state of consciousness of like the meditation or sleep or semi-waking state. Now, by no means, I want to make it clear, by no means is that always the case or is it necessary? But it is an interesting commonality between a large number of accounts. For instance, I find in a lot of modern accounts related to after-death communications generally, you'll find they occur in moments just like you spoke of, which is looking at a television, maybe even driving a car, for example. It's very common. So it's interesting so I wanted to relate that to my state of mind then during the book, is that I think in some sense you have to be in it may be that you're in a state of mind, like for instance, when you play guitar, you go into this kind of theta state of mind, which is distraction. I don't know if you've ever spoken to anyone who's playing guitar, but oftentimes it will take them 2 to 3 seconds to respond to you. It's because they're very kind of, they're in an actual altered state of consciousness. So maybe it is the case that when you're in this current state of consciousness, it's impossible to truly remember the nature of kind of time and space when you're in that state of consciousness. Maybe the two, it's hard to make the two meet, who knows?
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Daniel Burke about his book, Apparitions at the Moment of Death, The Living Ghost in Legend, Lyric and Lore. You can purchase the book on Amazon and wherever books are sold. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, Columbus, it's Jenny and Bill from Simple Bath and Kitchen. Are you thinking about updating your bathroom or kitchen?
Don't call some big out-of-town franchise. We're local, top to bottom, right here in Columbus.
We know our city, we know the homes, and we always treat every project like it's our own.
On time, on budget, zero pressure. So you can actually enjoy your home.
Visit simplebathandkitchen.com today.
We make it simple for you.
That's simplebathandkitchen.com.
Simplebathandkitchen.com.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It's the season of gratitude. We love this time of year because it helps us to actually take the time to focus on all that we truly have and all that we're thankful for.
At Simple Bath & Kitchen, all of you pop to the top of that list. Our Columbus community has allowed our SB&K team to work in your most sacred place, your home.
We understand that privilege, and we're so happy that by remodeling your bathroom and your kitchen, you've become part of our family.
At Simple Bath & Kitchen, we're grateful for you.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys. The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at audicolumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.